My name is Anne Maguire and I teach first class children in St. Paul's Junior National School, Airfield in Dublin. The audiobook you are about to hear is the result of a teacher-artist partnership between myself and theatre artist and children's writer Margaret Callenbergen. The children, our SNA Elaine, and I embarked on our creative journey with Margaret in October of this year. It has been a magical, exciting, and eye-opening experience for us all. The children have enjoyed every moment of our journey. Through the partnership, they have had the opportunity to explore their interactions with others and to recognise the importance of respect and inclusion. They have gained greater self-confidence and the ability to express themselves. I have also seen improved literacy skills, particularly greater fluency in reading. The children now show even greater enthusiasm and creativity in their written work. The experience has been overwhelmingly positive for us all. Everyone in first class would like to thank Margaret for her unquenchable enthusiasm and endless creativity throughout our experience. She has been an inspiration to us all.
Now we are all very proud of our creation. We hope you enjoy listening to our wonderful story.
Katie Clark and the Magic Snail by Margaret Callenbergen in collaboration with Miss Anne Maguire's First Class at St. Paul's Junior School Airfield Teachers Artist Partnership 2018.
Once upon a time in Dublin, at the back of the little primary school in Airfield called St. Paul's, there was a little pretty whitewashed cottage. In the little cottage lived a little old lady called Granny Annie, and she called her home Rose Cottage. At the back of Rose Cottage was a beautiful garden filled with all sorts of pretty wildflowers. Lots of different creatures and insects made their home in Granny Annie's garden. Every day you would hear the sounds of them going about their business in the garden.
In summer you would hear the bees buzzing in the hive. You would hear all the birds singing from in the trees where they live in the cozy nest.
Tweet, 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 tweet.
Slithery snails would stick the head out from the shell homes under the cabbage plants.
Squash, 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 squash.
And slowly make the way across the garden.
There were so many creatures and insects that made their home in the garden, and every creature's home was very different. Squirrels and rabbits lived in a tunnel under the apple tree. Worms lived under the clay and stuck their head out when it rained. Spiders were always weaving their special webs.
There were butterflies and ladybirds that catch
meow, 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 meow,
and sometimes even a fox. There were so many birds living in the trees. Robins, sparrows, pigeons, magpie, finches, but the most unusual birds of all. Were the crossbirds. The crossbird family lived up high in their nest in the ash tree. The crossbird family thought they were very special indeed. You see, they lived there before anybody else when the garden was only new and the trees were empty. It was then that the crossbird family arrived and set up home. They thought this made them the most important family in the garden.
First, there was Mr. Edgar Cloth, the father.
His job was to watch over the garden and protect everyone from Sarah the Spitty Cat. Then there was Mrs. Anna Cloth, who thought she was very posh, and her favourite pastime was to sit in the trees and paint pictures of the garden. Edgar and Anna had three children. Callum, age 6, who loved to play football with his dad. Martin Cloth, age 12, who played tag with everyone in the garden and had lots of different friends. And Katie Cloth, age 10, who was always fighting with the snail family.
She said they were no good at anything except sneaking around, climbing the trees and leaving a sticky, sparkly trail all over her homework.
One day, the Cloth family were having a special party because it was Callum Cloth's 6th birthday.
Happy birthday to
Mrs. Cloth made everyone's favourite food. Pizza, pasta, noodles for Katie, and some pretzels for Dad. Everybody was about to sit down to eat all the lovely food, when suddenly there was a strange noise, like an engine.
"What is that noise?" said Mr. Cloth, almost choking on his pretzels. "It sounds like an elephant dancing in the garden." The noise got louder and started to change. There was a bang, then the sound of a horse. Bang, knee, bang, knee, bang, knee.
"Oh, it's probably Blinker the horse next door banging on the garden wall again," said Mrs. Cloth.
The sound changed again to a loud engine noise, then banging, boom, 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 boom. "It sounds like a big tractor or a lawnmower to me," said Callum Cloth. Finally, there was another huge big noise.
"It's a bomb," screamed Katie Cloth. With that, all of the birds flew out of the trees in a big flow to see what was going on in the garden. When they got there, they could not believe their eyes. Callum Cloth Bird was right. Granny Annie was in the garden with a huge, brand new, shiny lawnmower. It was so big that you could sit on it and drive it like a tractor. The blades were like big teeth and they were cutting and chopping and digging everything.
Granny Annie was having great fun on her new gadget when suddenly the blade hit a big rock under the ground and made bright colour sparks. Smoke started to come out of the lawnmower and it came to a sudden stop. All of the creatures screamed and ran away. They were afraid the whole garden might go on fire. "That's it," said Granny Annie. "This garden is like a wild jungle. It's out of control. I can't even cut the grass down. I am going to put concrete down on half of this garden. And I will have to kick some of the creatures out for good."
That night, all of the creatures were very upset. What did this mean? If the garden was cut in half, then there wouldn't be enough room for everybody anymore. Some of the creatures might have to leave. Then where would they live and what was to become of them?
Mr. Clothbird decided that there needed to be an emergency meeting of every creature who lived in the garden. He decided to put up a notice on the tree. The notice said, "Meeting of all of the garden residents, tonight at 8 p.m. That night, when the moon was out, and the creatures were normally asleep in their beds, everybody gathered together for the meeting. There were the rabbits, magpies, robins, squirrels, worms, the butterflies, and the bees. And even though it took
them longer to get there. The snails were even there too.
Mrs. Clothbird landed on top of the bramble bush so everyone could see her, and she welcomed everybody to the meeting.
Welcome everybody to this emergency meeting of the Rose Cottage Garden residents. As you may know, there was a huge commotion in the garden today.
I use what? Said old Grandpa Squirrel. Oh, I know what you mean, Granny Annie and her big new noisy lawnmower.
The new lawnmower is not the real problem. Today, Mr. Clothbird overheard Granny Annie say that she was going to make the garden smaller, cut everything down, pour concrete over the ground, and kick out half the creatures who live here.
All of the creatures did a big gasp.
This is a very serious situation, said Mrs. Clothbird. The garden will be much smaller. There won't be enough space for everyone anymore. Some of the creatures will have to leave the garden for good. We will have to meet again tomorrow, when everybody must tell us why they think they should stay in the garden. And then we will have to vote about who we think should leave. That night, the Clothbirds were having dinner, and nobody was eating. Everybody was very worried. Mr. Clothbird began to speak.
Well, one thing is for sure, we will not be leaving the garden. What use is a garden without the birds who sing and chirp all day long? Our nests are high in the tree, so we are not in the way, and we help keep the garden tidy by using the old twigs for our nests. We are far too important to leave.
Well, I'll tell you who should leave, said Katie Clough. I think the snail family should leave. They are not like the other creatures. They don't have a proper home in the garden, and all they do is sneak around and leave a big sluggy trail. Well, I don't agree, said Callum Clot. You don't know any of the snail family, Katie. You never try to be their friends, so you don't know what they're like. Just because someone is different from you does not mean they are not nice. You should not say mean things about someone you don't know. I don't think it's fair. No one should have to leave the garden. Everyone is as important as each other. No matter where they live, all the creatures are special in their own way.
Martin Cloth, her older brother, started to speak. Well, I just think that creatures who are good footballers should stay. I mean, it would be really boring around here if we couldn't play football.
Mrs. Cloth did not speak at all. She listened quietly. And the more she thought about the whole situation, the more she got worried. What are we going to do? She whispered to herself. The next day, the creatures met up again at the bramble bush, and they were all very scared. Mrs. Cloth welcomed everyone again. The first to speak were the mice family. There was David and his daughter, Candle.
Well, there are two reasons for us to stay. First of all, we make our home in the wall of the house. So, although we spend time in the garden, we do not take any space. The other reason, and this is the most important, is that Candle's mother is not with us. Now, since she went to heaven, and our home and our friends in the garden are even more important, especially our neighbour, Miss White Mouse, who comes to help us every day.
The next to speak was the owl.
I think I have the most important job. You see, I'm the only one who's awake at night. And so I keep my eyes on everything. And I make sure that sneaky cat Sarah does not try any funny stuff while the birds are asleep. You cannot do out me or you won't be safe.
Well, said Daisy Rabbit, let's face it. I am the cutest creature of all of you. I am fluffy and I have these really cutie teeth.
Well, you may be cute, said Mrs. Cloth. I can't deny it. But being cute is not that useful. So you'll have to think of a better reason to stay.
Next to speak was Mr. Bobby Duck from the Duck family.
Quack, quack, quack.
Well, my wife has just had a baby duck. We can't leave the garden, yet she is too sick and need to rest.
But Mr. Duck, said Mrs. Cloth, the garden pond has dried up. There is so little water in the garden pond, surely it would be better for you to live somewhere that was more water. What Mrs. Clothbird did not know was that the Ducky family were big friends with all of the garden fairies who lived through the magic gate at the end of the garden. The head fairies, Alex and Candy Floss Blue, loved the Ducky family and they often let them swim in the fairy garden stream. The fairies in Rose Cottage Garden were very special. Candy Floss Blue had amazing magic powers in her hands, so she could send out magic electricity that spun a big candy floss all around anything it hit.
Alex the fairy was a shape changer fairy. She could change into anything she wanted. A duck, a bird, a rabbit, a cat, even a snail. Back at the meeting, all the creatures had said why they should stay, except for the snails. There were five people in the snail family: Mr. and Mrs. Snail, baby girl Lily, Emily Snail, who was 10, like Katie Clough, and Bob, her brother, who was 13. The meeting was about to end, but they had not spoke yet, and no one had noticed.
Suddenly, Katie Clough decided to speak. Well, I think we need to decide who is useless and no help, and I say it's the snails. What use are they with all their sliminess?
Don't start that again, said Callum Clod. The snail family have feelings. They can hear you.
Then why don't they speak up and say where they should stay, said Katie.
At the back of the garden, the snail family were silent, except for the sound of one of the little snails, Emily, who was sobbing because she was so sad. She wished she could be friends with Katie. After all, they were the same age. She could not understand why Katie Clough was so mean and hurtful to her family just because they were different from her.
It was getting dark again, and so Mrs. Cloth said that they should all decide who they think should leave and place a vote in the cardboard box at the back of the garden. Everybody was allowed to have one vote, and that was fair. That was their rule. Everyone kept it except for one creature who else but Katie Clough.
Later that night, when the moon was out and everyone except the owl was asleep, Katie snuck behind the tree where the owl could not spot her. She went to the cardboard box with all the votes in it, which was on the ground beside the fairy gate. In her beak, she had five pieces of paper, and written on each one of them was, "The snails should leave." She looked all around to make sure there was no one in the garden peeking, and then she put the papers into the box with all the other votes.
"Now the snails will have to go," she said to herself.
Katie Klaus, the little bird, thought she had got away with cheating and no one had seen her. But little did she know that the fairies Candy Floss Blue and Alex had watched her every move from behind the fairy gate. "I can't believe it," said Candy Floss Blue. "Why is Katie so mean to the snails? We have to teach her a lesson."
"But how?" said Alex the garden fairy.
"You'll just have to wait and see," said Candy Floss Blue as she giggled mischievously. The next day, Katie Klaus was on her way around the garden when a white feather fell out of the sky from nowhere. "Where did that come from?" she said. "Oh, look, there is a note attached to it." And she read the note out loud.
"There is a party in the fairy garden tonight, which is a secret. Only special creatures are invited. Knock on the gate 3 times and the fairies will let you in." "I can't believe it, an invite to the fairy garden. None of the other creatures have ever been invited before. I knew I was the most special of all. Oh, this is so exciting."
That night, Katie snuck out again and went to the fairy garden gate and knocked 3 times, just like it said on the note. At first, the fairy garden lit up and went all sorts of magical colours. First pink, then blue, then red, then orange, and finally bright green. Bit by bit, the gate slowly opened and Katie went in. She could not believe her eyes. The fairy garden was so beautiful, sparkling and colourful. There were magic lights and a colourful waterfall, and everything looked like it was made from some strange sugary fluffy stuff. Katie ran to touch it and realised it was candy floss. Everything was made from candy floss. She started to fly around and couldn't help herself. She saw a tree that had big balls of candy floss growing on it, so she flew up to try and eat some.
Katie was having just a great time eating piles and piles of candy floss that she did not realise that she had left the fairy gate open and someone had followed her in it. It was Sarah the pretty cat.
Meow. Sarah watched carefully as the little bird ate away at the candy floss tree and step by step by step snuck up behind her. Katie Cloth was covered in sticky sugar when she turned around to see Sarah, who let out the biggest cat screech and scared her half to death. She tried to fly away, but her wings were stuck. She tried to run away, but her feet were stuck. She looked all around her to see if there was someone who could help. The fairy garden was empty in every direction. Next, the cat put out its paw and opened up its mouth. Katie screamed, "No, you can't eat me. Please, someone help."
In the half-evening light, Katie Cloth's voice echoed across the fairy garden and bounced around in the emptiness and seemed to disappear into the evening air. There was no other sight or sound of a living creature. What was she to do? She was about to give up hope. She closed her eyes, and a little tear trickled down her face, and she began to cry. Then suddenly she heard a sound that up until now she had hated. Squelch, 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 squelch. There, climbing her way up across the fairy garden, was Emily Snail, her silver trail lighting up in the dark as she made her way across the fairy garden.
"Please, little snail, please can you help me?" said Katie. The little snail looked up and saw the big cat about to eat Katie Cloth. She did not speak, but suddenly her shell lit up like a bright silver light and all the snails in the garden came out and followed Emily Snail's silver trail. The snail surrounded the cat and made a big slippery trail all around her, and Sarah the spitty cat started to slide all over the place and slid all the way down the tree and ran away. The snails all cheered. Katie Cloth was safe from the cat. Katie Cloth ran over and hugged Emily the snail.
"I'm sorry, I'm so sorry I was so mean to you. My brother Callum was right. I was so unfair to you, and yet you saved me when I needed help the most. I have learned my lesson. Just because you are different from other creatures, it does not mean there is something wrong or bad about you. I should have waited until I got to know you before I decided what I thought. I know now that we are all different from each other in some way, but there's one thing that we all have that's the same. Feelings. And I hurt your feelings. I'm really sorry, Emily Snail."
As Katie Cloth and Emily made friends with each other, the two fairies, Alex and Kenny Fast Blue, giggled from behind a tree.
"So, Candy Floss Blue, that was your plan and it worked. You changed yourself into a cat to teach Katie a lesson."
"How did you guess it was me? Meow,"
said Candy Floss Blue. The two fairies giggled to themselves with glee.
The next day, Mrs. Clothbird went to collect the box with all the votes. But it was not there. In its place was a notice from the fairies. "Dear garden creatures, this is the fairies. You need not worry anymore about having to leave the garden. There is lots of room in the fairy garden, and if you need somewhere to live, you can come here." So in the end, Granny Annie made half of the garden into a basketball and skateboard court. And all the creatures had great fun skateboarding and playing basketball. Some lived in the main gardens and others in the fairy garden. But everybody was included.
All the creatures were really happy again. But most important of all, Katie Cloth and Emily Snail were best friends now. And Katie Cloth would never ever be mean to anyone again, just because they were different.